Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. It was just after Benjamin Franklin's kite flying days. Some Frenchmen were experimenting with electricity. They wanted to know how fast it moved. The abbot of a large monastery volunteered his monks for the experiment. The monks had taken a vow of obedience, so they really had no choice in the matter. They lined up 1,000 of the monks, each holding the hand of the monk next to him. Then the electric current was applied to the first man in line. And according to an account of the experiment, every one of those 1,000 monks jumped up in the air precisely at the same moment. That must have been quite a sight. I draw two conclusions from this story. First, electricity moves with astonishing speed. And second, abbots in French monasteries in the 18th century had tremendous authority over their monks. It's hard to get that much cooperation in most churches, much less that kind of electricity. In his epistle, Peter tells us that we're to be a big, happy family. Well, you and I know that even the happiest of families have their problems. There's a story of a family who changed churches from Methodist to Presbyterian. And the little boy of the family was slow to make the transition in the Lord's Prayer. His older brother said, "You don't even know how to say the Lord's Prayer. You don't say, 'Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.' You're supposed to pray, 'Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debt against us.'" I hope that none of us have anyone in the church family who's debt against us. And yet within the happiest of families, there are bound to be conflicts. St. Paul advises us to watch our tongues, to pray for one another, to forgive one another, to love one another. A big, happy family. That's the ideal model for the church. But how do we recapture that harmonious relationship in the church today? Well, we find it by reminding ourselves who we are and what we're about. We do it by asking ourselves three questions every time we meet to do the business of the church. The first question we need to ask is this: what can we do to help persons love God more? Despite what you might think, my friends, we are not in the business of building beautiful buildings. We're not in the business of producing ear-pleasing music or even preaching great sermons. Rather, we are in the business, first of all, to help people. To help people find and experience God's love. So this morning, my primary purpose as your pastor is to tell you that God loves you and to seek in every way to help you respond in love to God's call. There is a marine creature called a limpet. It lives in a conical shell and clings tenaciously to rocks on the seashore. It is so sensitive to the approach of danger that when a person comes near, it adheres to that rock, and it's impossible to pry it loose. What a grand thing it would be if each of us could cling to God in the same way that that limpet clings to its rock. In his book, Rebuild Your Life, Dale Galloway tells about an experience when he was a custodian of a large church while he was a student at Olivet College in Illinois. Galloway writes, "One Saturday, as I was cleaning the sanctuary, I had the windows open and a little bird flew in. Once inside, the bird flew all around, having a big time looking the huge church over. What an adventure, so exciting and new. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me that the little bird was trapped inside the sanctuary. At least it seemed that way to me as I watched him. The bird began to fly back and forth through the air, looking for a way out of the church building. I found myself wanting to help the trapped, panic-stricken bird. After a while, the bird landed upstairs in the balcony, so I ran up the stairs. You would have thought I was crazy if you'd been watching me. As I reached down to pick up the little bird, it took off again. Back downstairs I went, from one end of the church to the other, following him. Up against the top of the window, it hit, trying to escape its captivity. But it couldn't find its way out, and the struggle went on for quite a while. Finally, in utter exhaustion, giving up, the bird fell to the floor. He was not dead, but he must have felt half dead. I walked over to where he was, knelt down, reached out my hands, and gently picked up the fallen bird. I carried the bird in my hand over to the window and opened my hands, and the little bird flapped his wings and flew away with a new life. He was free, free to fly and climb to the heights again. Galloway goes on to write, "I've seen God do that sort of thing for people. Quite often he uses the church to lift the broken and the bruised back to life and back to freedom once again." The second task is this, my friends, to help us love one another more. At St. John, we use the New Revised Standard Version. And my guess is that most of you have a King James Version at home. But the Living Bible translates Peter's words from our scripture this morning like this. You should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't snap back at those who say unkind things about you. Instead, pray for God's help for them, for we are to be kind to others, and God will bless us for it. Here is the real strength of the church. It is the love we share for one another. If we could help people know such love exists, then we would really indeed be doing the job we're called to do. Bennett Cerf, who was the master of ceremonies for that old TV program, What's My Line, once was asked, "What are you most afraid of?" Cerf's reply was, "I have to admit that the thing I'm most afraid of is not being loved." Friends, there are a lot of people in this world with that great fear. If they only knew that the church is not only people loving God, but also people loving one another, how much better off would they be? Our first task, indeed, is to help persons love God. And our second task is to love one another. But there is a third task, and that is just as vital as the first two. We must love the world for which Christ died. You may have heard the story of a five-year-old who attended a regular worship service for the first time. The preacher was one of those kind who rants and raves and roars when he preaches. And the pulpit he was in was shaped like a broad box. When the preacher got all warmed up that morning, he started pacing back and forth like a tiger in a cage. And he pounded on the pulpit and shook his fists. When the youngster became frightened, he turned to his grandmother and whispered, "Grandma, what are we going to do if he gets out of there?" Trying to comfort the little fellow, the grandmother replied, "Don't worry, he never has." A religion that never gets out of the pulpit or the pew, or in the age of COVID, our own homes, and goes out the door to the world outside, has never properly understood the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is the gospel. It is for the world that the church exists. I read a story about a Rotary Club on the day that it paid tribute to the manager of a business which was celebrating its 100th anniversary. "A century is a long time," said the president. "Only an organization based on sound principles and rendering vital service could have lasted so long." Then the president, looking around him, said, "Is there anyone else in the club who represents a firm that has been in existence for 100 years?" A minister stood up and said, "President Jim, I have the honor of representing an organization that has been at work in this community ever since its inception and in the world for 2,000 years. No organization ever founded has been based on sounder principles or rendered more vital service than the church." Here is how we capture the electricity. Here is how we find a way to live as a happy family. Here is where we discover what it means to be who God has called us to be. To make sure that everything we do in the church contributes to our central task, to help persons love God, to help us love one another, and to render loving service to the world. That is who we are, and that is what we are about. Amen.